there are things that we've already accomplished in this plan, and then there's things that we're working towards, and it's going to take us some time to get there. But it's so nice to see that the process has already started. We're already working towards these things, and we're well on our way.
That's the most important part of a strategic plan. It gives everyone, okay, this is what we're trying to achieve.
Sarah Prevett has developed transformational strategy for some of the country's biggest business leaders and renowned brands. Globally recognized for her work in human-centered design and entrepreneurship, she's proud to work alongside an incredible team of educators to drive innovation inside schools. Prevett's organization, Future Design School, provides world-class strategy development, professional training programs, and resources that empower effective leadership and personalized learning. I am Megan Jackson, and this is the Embry Academy podcast. Okay, Sarah, thanks for joining me.
I'm excited to be here.
We've got a lot to talk about. There's some really cool information for the Embry community to kind of learn about here. So I'm excited to chat. And I think what we'll do is we'll just start talking about our strategic plan. This whole season, season three, is all about connecting our community collaborators with what we're doing with our strategic plan. So you're the perfect person to have on this season. So why don't we just talk about how our partnership started?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. You know, I think actually it started with Steve learning about Future Design School and reaching out to the team to see, you know, what we were doing and how we were supporting schools, and relationship just blossomed from there. And, you know, it's always funny when you find somebody that just sort of fits, right? You have the right ethos and the right culture. And you know, I think we have a really shared vision between, you know, what his vision for the future of education is and what Future Design School believes is necessary to really support kids and really around, you know, that future ready skill development. And so we just hit it off. And it's been a really exciting journey building this strategic plan and working with the senior leadership team and trying to pull together all of these amazing ideas and insights. And I'm really proud of what we've produced together and really excited about where we're going.
Within that process, it's not a easy process. It's a long process. And you always said that it really is the team that is so important in creating this plan. Like, you are the driver of it, but we are the contributors to it. And so can you talk us through a little bit about how that process worked for Embry and Future Design School and kind of like what that looked like?
Yeah, you know, the process is so important. And just like you said, team is everything. And Embry is so blessed to have such an amazing leadership team and so many amazing people within their own spheres of influence, whether that's marketing or running the senior school or thinking about advancement. And so our process is really rooted in deep community consultation. So the first part of the process is always, let's go out and talk to all of our stakeholders, whether that's parents, teachers, staff, students. We want to understand, you know, what's working well, what's special sauce in terms of our group here, and then what are the unmet needs? Like, what are those opportunities so that we can come back with real data? And so we did that great community consultation. It was amazing, the participation rates. I don't even remember what they were, but I think every stakeholder group just had really great things to share. We brought that back to the team to say, okay, you know, here's what the community is saying that they need. Here's what we can do to go to the next step, and brought that to the board as well. And so taking all of those insights and then starting to think about, how do we action those? What does that mean? And how does this weave into the trends that we're seeing in education, the vision that we have for the future? You sort of start to see this Venn diagram appear, right? Of here is really what we need to be focused on. And so that process really lasts for a long time because we go gather those insights, bring those insights back, and then we're having really rich dialogues and discussions with the working group, or a group of leaders who have been amassed to really put their lens on the strategic plan, and letting them really start to say, okay, these are the goals then, long-term, mid-term, short-term, and then turning those into metrics. And that's a really important part of this process too, is it's not just the front-end work of starting to create a strategic vision, but actually what operationally do we need to do to accomplish that vision? And so it's really where the rubber hits the road, is that deep operational plan and those metrics that we're judging our own success by.
Right. And within the process, we've made, I don't know, it was like over 50 promises to our community that things that we want to achieve and we want our community to hold us accountable for. Can you talk a little bit about those promises, and then how are we actually going to implement those, and how are we going to see those kind of come to light?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And you know, I'm not allowed to have favorites. We work in, I think, 65 countries and in countless schools. But what I love about this plan is the focus on personally developing your own potential, pursuing your own passion. I mean, even the title of the strategic plan, right, is Unleash Your Potential. And to me, that's a really powerful statement and speaks to the vision that was really around, you know, how do we challenge each student, meet them where they're at, and then allow them to become the best versions of themselves that they can. And so I think, you know, we can have these big aspirations like empowering every student and talking about how do we create critical thinkers and, you know, engage citizens as our output. But we need to be really deliberate and intentional about how we cultivate that. And so you have to have a detailed roadmap. And so I think what's really exciting is we know that we have actually laid out all of the steps to getting to that deep individualized support and care. And we know what that looks like, feels like, all of those things. And now those commitments that we've made to the community is, you know, we're going to continue. We're in a great place and we're not going to rest. We're not going to be complacent. We're pursuing excellence as a team and saying, you know, we know that we're a really great school, but we want to be even better and we want to do more. And so I think that, you know, there's a wonderful sense of community, a wonderful sense of momentum. And I think that this pursuit of excellence is sort of the piece that is really exciting. And you see that across the operations and the back office. You see that in terms of our pedagogy and assessment. And you see that in terms of how we're thinking about advancing opportunities for all of our students to grow. So I think in general, you know, the focus is really on how do we meet each student where they're at, provide them with personalized care and support, and then how do we make sure that they're able to build their own personalized pathways? And so that's from the highest level, but you need to be able to say, how do you do that, right? So that's the what, but how do you get down to the how? And so what we've detailed is the roadmap to actually doing that. And I'm really excited about all of the things that the team has been working so hard on. I mean, the success there, right? That in itself is such an amazing accomplishment to be able to really provide students with outside of class support. And so there's a bunch of really deliberate and intentional initiatives, but then there's all of these things where we're working on new curriculum. We're working on how do we build what are the skills that students need and how do we infuse that into our existing curriculum? And so, you know, I think that there's the commitments that Armbray have made can be summed up in terms of we're going to go above and beyond what your expectations are.
And I think what I love most about this plan, and especially when we had our launch party, our pizza party, and families came out and Mr. Clark spoke about the plan and kind of walked everybody through the plan at a high level. It's a very digestible piece and it's something that everybody can understand. And it's not this massive document that it will take you hours to read. Like it's short and to the point and it's sweet and it's points that everybody can understand. And I hope that moving forward, people will start to look at those promises and start to check things off. Like the Student Success Center, yes, there are things that we've already accomplished in this plan. And then there's things that we're working towards and it's going to take us some time to get there. But it's so nice to see that the process has already started. We're already working towards these things and we're well on our way.
That's the most important part of a strategic plan. It gives everyone, okay, this is what we're trying to achieve. And then we can really detail it. And we have, right? Here are the steps. Here's year one. I mean, we've mapped out, right? The next couple of years, here's what we're going to do in year one. And we're going to sit down at the end of this year and say, where did we fall short and where did we overachieve? And, you know, on all of those metrics, right? And the board in its governance role is holding the operational team accountable to those deliverables, right? Those are real metrics. They're being reported on at every board meeting. I mean, it's really, I think, putting a stake in the ground to say, you know, this is what we're going to accomplish. And then it allows us to see who's accountable for each one of those metrics, right? And because otherwise, without, I think, strategic plans, without that deep operational roadmap are just hopes and dreams, right? It's not actually a plan. And so what's exciting about Armbray is that we have a aspiration, but it's backed by a really detailed roadmap. And there's very deep clarity from each member of the team about their role, and they know that the impact that they can have on students. And
can
community.
You talk a little bit about the development of their three main pillars and just briefly touch on a few points and kind of why we chose three? And
yeah, you know, it's always interesting when you go into a school to learn about, you know, where is their current focus and, you know, what are sort of thematically the things that you can pull. And I think the pursuit of excellence to me was just apparent from day one, right? And it was apparent in terms of, you know, what the leadership team was saying in terms of their aspirations for the school. You know, how do we become the center of excellence in Atlantic Canada? Like, and that was the driving force as we think about this. So it's, yeah, I know we're a wonderful school. How do we get to, you know, how do we really own the top and how can we really be seen as the top choice? And I think we're well on our way. And I think that pursuit of excellence comes into all sorts of shapes and forms in terms of our student experience, in terms of how our expectations are formed around our educators, but also in terms of our own leadership, right? And in terms of what leadership is expected to do to be able to rise to meet this moment. We want to be the best. That means that everybody on the team needs to be the best, right? And I think that that was a really key piece. And then, of course, you know, there's a real dedication to inclusivity. And I think that, you know, there was a lot of conversation in this process around well-being of students, but also well-being of staff. And also, how do we become accessible? And that's always such a wrestle, right, with independent schools, is how do we make sure that we can attract the top learners from across the geography, and that, you know, financials are not a barrier to access? And how do we really increase purposefully and thoughtfully the diversity of our team and the diversity of our students? Because we know that's just going to enrich our experiences and make sure that we're building a really thriving community.
And what was the third pillar?
Community. You know, I think that there's a wonderful sense of community and support. And that came really apparent in the consultation. Everyone talked about the incredible sense of community they had at the school. You know, one of the big metrics I look for when we're doing community consultation is how many students feel they have a trusted adult in the school. And the metrics for Armbray were wonderful on that, right? And in the sense of community from staff and students and parents is just off the charts. And there was a really wonderful sense of caring and trust and belonging. And those are key pieces we look for. And I think Armbray has a phenomenal culture to build off of, right? And culture is always the first most important foundational piece to be able to do anything else. So I think, you know, we have all these great aspirations and we're building off a really solid foundation.
I think as an alumni and now as a faculty member, like that sense of community and that caring has held true. And it's, yeah, although the school has gone through some changes over the years, I think that that pillar is very true to who we are. So yeah, it's nice that that's part of the plan in a big way.
For sure. And community, I think, is the strength that Armbray is bringing to the conversation and building off of. And I think it's something that everybody is very conscious about protecting. You know, that came up in a lot of conversations, like this is a special place and we want to protect that specialness. We want to make sure that we don't lose that, you know, in anything that we do. So if we're talking about future growth, we're talking about these things, the conversation always came back to, yes, but not at the expense of community. We have a really small, trusted sense of community. How do we make sure that we keep that culture as we move forward?
We talk a lot about just becoming the best version of Armbray that we can be. And that does not mean necessarily doubling in size or increasing our staff, tripling our staff or whatever that is. It's not necessarily that. It's becoming the best version of ourselves that we currently are and creating the experience for our students, the best experience that they can have.
For sure. And, you know, just to give kudos to the leadership team, which was really apparent in all of our strategic discussions, was how student-centered everyone was, right? Like everything came back to, okay, well, like, let's make sure, but let's think about how that would affect student experience, right? And making sure that we're always making decisions that are in the best interest of our kids. And I think that, you know, we really had some deep, meaningful conversations about growth and about what that would look like. And how do we make sure that we maintain small class sizes? And how do we make sure that we never lose that a wonderful sense of community that we have? So I think being very intentional about culture is a very special thing and something that's going to help Armbray as you continue in your evolution.
After the break, Sarah and I have a great chat about Armbray becoming a future design school and what that will look like for our community. To learn more about Future Design School, visit futuredesignschool.com. And so that's our strategic plan. We've launched it. It's out there for the community. It's so exciting. We have a pathway forward. We have the implementation plan in terms of how we're actually going to execute all these promises. And Future Design School is a huge part of that. So are you able to talk a little bit about Future Design School is, how you got into this line of work?
Very strange tale, to be perfectly honest. It's definitely not a linear journey. If someone had told me, 20 years ago, I'd be in education, I don't think I would have believed them. But I started as a tech entrepreneur many, many, many years ago. I'm not going to do the math for anybody. But built in scale scaled and sold a few tech companies, was a venture capitalist, investing in businesses, mostly CPG. And all of this time, you know, running companies, I thought, wow, this is the best education anyone could possibly get. Right? You know, there's so many skills and things, and there's so many methods that we use in business, like human-centered design and things that you think, boy, it's strange that we don't teach this. Like, why aren't we teaching entrepreneurship? And why aren't we enabling every student to have this type of experience? And so that was always sort of a nagging thought for me in the back of my mind. And I think I always thought that, you know, in my retirement or something, I would come back and start a school or something. And then, you know, it just hit me. I was, you know, I was not happy investing. It turns out that writing checks for other people while they go build things is not as fulfilling as actually building your own things. And I just kept, it was like an idea I just couldn't shake. I just couldn't stop thinking about like how we could bring more into education and how could we focus on skills. And actually, like, you know, it's kind of crazy, right? You think about it, like we give people a mark on their content knowledge. And in a world where AI is about to disrupt everything, who cares that, you know, you knew 80% of the content of like, you know, this type of history when knowledge is so easily accessible. So knowledge is important, don't get me wrong, but how do we also make sure that we're putting the emphasis on the things that are going to allow people to be successful later? And that's really about how well do you communicate? How well do you collaborate? How are you able to assess different types of information and really exercise constructive doubt? I mean, there's so many things. And we do a lot of critical thinking, obviously, and creativity and communication and things in schools currently, but how conscious are students of that development of those skills? And how much are they pursuing mastery of their own personal collaboration, their own personal communication, right? So it's about switching the emphasis. Yes, you need to understand, it's wonderful to learn about history and to, you know, read wonderful classics and all those sorts of things. I believe in a rich liberal arts education, deep STEM. But what about those skills? What are those transferable skills? All of that to say, you know, I was really fortunate to start meeting with thought leaders who were already in education. It became very apparent there was a grassroots revolution already happening in education. Teachers around the world know that the system needs overhauling and updating. And there was this pervasive belief from educators that they could be doing more around these skills. And like, they're looking for scaffolding and they're looking for support. And so Future Design School really came out of this, you know, it's almost a decade now, which is just wild. Feels like 5 minutes, but really out of this belief of let's go arm the rebellion, right? All of these teachers who are passionate about transforming and really adding skill development into their practice. How do we support them? How do we support best pedagogy to be able to do deep experiential learning? Because we know when kids can do things that are experiential and student-led versus sitting in rows and being talked at, we know that that can really transform people's futures. And so it's been an incredible journey. We now, you know, we work in 65 different countries. We work in higher education as well as K-12. And we see the changes that are happening, and it's happening quickly. Admissions in higher ed is changing. They're starting to say, boy, if everybody's coming in with inflated marks and everybody has a 98% average or something, how do I actually discern who's going to be successful later? And what the pressure is coming from is employers. Employers are saying to higher ed institutions, hey, your graduates need to come out with demonstrable skills and demonstrable experience so they can hit the ground running and actually add value in our organization. That has a huge impact on K-12, because if an institution is now being judged for the output of their graduates and how work ready they are, they're going to look at the students coming in from K-12 and try to make bets on who's going to be the most successful. So it's the conversation is switching towards skills. And I think that's a really positive thing, but it's something that we need to be talking about with parents so that they understand that this is now really important for their child's future success.
When parents make their decision to send their children to an independent school, that's what they want. And I think a lot of times there can be, like the lines can be blurred a little bit, and it can be parents want their children to have, like you were talking about, the traditional education where they're learning about all of the traditional subjects. But I think it's beyond that. And I think parents that are up and coming now are realizing this. But I think the Future Design School story and your whole philosophy is something that the story needs to be told. And our community needs to realize, like, this is the future.
Well, and it's the conversation I'm having every single day. I was on with a really incredible university yesterday, and they were talking about the need to equip doctors coming out of their medical school. And I'm having conversations with law schools, like they're trying to quickly embed critical skills and allow their students to have narration when they leave about, here's how I collaborate with others. Here's how I'm able to, like, here's a demonstrable proof of how I've been able to take a really complex problem and then and do my own data analysis and then provide a creative solution. And so what we're doing, and we're doing this around the world, is coming into K-12 to help. We have amazing educators. We have amazing curriculum. How do we just embed those skills and that skill development into our existing curriculum? And then how do we help teachers assess skills on a personalized level, right? And that's change in pedagogy. It's also a change in assessment. And so there's scaffolding that needs to happen in that change. And I think the whole conversation needs to start with parents around how to prepare your students for this really rapidly changing future. And I mean, I can't tell you how many conversations I now have daily about AI and how it's disrupting everything. And so we need to see it as sort of the impetus to change, right? The world is changing very rapidly. Now our institutions like education need to change to be able to keep up and make sure our students are well prepared.
I think we're blessed as a independent school to be able to accommodate those changes, the rapidly changing environment. We have the resources and we're able to implement those things. And so we're lucky to be working with you in order to do that.
Well, it's the agility, right? The agility of an independent school to be able to say, okay, here's where we're going to build a cohort. We're going to introduce this and to be able to have the gift of time and resources, right? And there is, it's the, you know, independent schools are very privileged in the resources and the abilities that they're able to provide to students and the experiences that they're able to provide, right? And so I think, you know, we'll see. We are working with districts, you know, in the public system to also infuse. But certainly, I think the independent school has an agility that's unparalleled. And then you have sort of forward thinking leaders like your team that, you know, they can see where, you know, to use a very Canadian phrase, you know, where the puck is going, and we're going to skate that direction. We want to be first, right? And so I think that that's really exciting. And I think that speaks volumes again about the school, about not resting on its laurels, because you have a great school, you're producing great graduates, you have a wonderful community, but the team is saying, you know what, we can see these are going to add to our students and their abilities, their experiences, and help shape them into lifelong learners.
What would becoming a future design school look like? What would it look like for our teachers? What is it going to look like for our community? What is it going to look like for, most importantly, our students?
Yeah. So, you know, so we have, and this was, it's so funny because, you know, we have this global network of schools and we've been organically introducing, you know, different schools to each other so that they can support one another, doing site visits, doing all that kind of stuff. And everyone kept saying, you know, you should really create a membership or a network or something like that. And we kept saying, oh, no, that's not something we do. But what we've seen now with, you know, what's the shift that needs to happen with pedagogy and assessment. So becoming a future design school is really about embracing the portrait of a graduate. And so a portrait of a graduate is essentially detailing, here's what every student is going to graduate with when they leave our school. We spoke about commitments in the strategic plan. One of them was, we're going to create a portrait of a graduate to say every Armbury student is going to graduate with deep experience and deep narration around their own personal developments, or conscious pursuit is how we talk about it, of these critical skills that we know are going to be important for tomorrow. And so becoming Future Design School is really about adopting that portrait and then about going on a journey to actually infuse that into your existing curriculum. And with your educators, it means shifting that approach in the classroom to make sure that we're not just uncovering content, but that we're also assessing each student on their individual skills. And so for educators, it's a journey because we have to start actually thinking about, okay, how do these skills, and we have a deep continuum for each skill. So if we'll pick on critical thinking for a moment, there's a development of what critical thinking looks like, you know, through all of the developmental stages that a student goes through, right? Our expectations of someone in kindergarten is going to be slightly different than someone in grade 12. And so being able to work with educators to really think about how they can create experiences where students are going to be able to flex those skills, but then also how do we assess those? And then how do students meaningfully reflect on those skills and then work to develop that and pursue mastery? And then how do we enable them to really narrate that, right? And to be able to work on aspects and to get peer feedback. And so what it looks like for students ultimately is you'll see, and if you go into a future design school, students are able to articulate the work that they're doing on a very different level. So they can see the transferable skills that they're developing while they're doing a project. They can talk about how they were collaborating and, you know, how they iterated on their own thinking. And, you know, they can talk about other people's communication skills. And that level of consciousness is a real game changer, right? In terms of being able to see the skills and to work on the things that are going to make them successful. It also means that there's new curriculum that, you know, allows students to explore emerging technologies like AI. It means that they're able to get that global perspective around how the economy works and how, what is their place in this changing economy. So there's a lot of future vision, global vision pieces. And then there's curriculum that's really around leadership development and the character traits and things. So around how do we develop leaders? How do we develop that executive functioning? So there's a whole bunch of different skills, attributes, character traits, future-ready competencies, and curriculum that comes. And you can think of it as something similar akin to something like the IB, where, but it's, you know, our focus is not on standardized testing and, you know, this, like a cookie cutter approach to everyone is going to, you know, strive to achieve a 7. It's really more about adopting a framework for how to create exceptional learning, how to embed and measure skills, and then having differentiated transcripts that allow these students to apply to the top higher ed institutions around the world and be differentiated.
I just have one final question, Sarah. So every guest that has been on this season, I ask, what is your why? Why are you doing what you're doing? Augie Jones put us through a little activity where he asked all the educators in the room, why are they doing what they're doing? So I want to put that question back on you and ask what your why is.
I think it's a great question. And it's probably a long over a bottle of wine answer. But I think my true why is I think it's important to wake up every day and have a sense of purpose. And for me, purpose comes through service and impact. And I, you know, I can't think of anything more meaningful than trying to transform the education system to make sure that the society that we are leaving is in better shape. And that's, I think, my prime motivation in life is how do we make a better, smarter society? And the answer to me is education.
Amazing. Very beautifully put. Thanks for your time.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you.
On the next episode, we will have a special takeover from a fellow podcaster, James Ingram from Make My Logo Bigger, where he will be interviewing myself and my right-hand woman, Suzanne Morrison, where we will talk about all things marketing and how it affects independent schools. And remember, be kind, work hard.